Hallelujah. Well, hold them up and say this after me. This is my Bible, the inspired and living Word of God. Give it to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare, I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. As I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen and amen. Praise God. It is so good to be a child of the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we began a new series a couple weeks back that I've entitled Living in the Blessing. Praise God. If you missed the first installment, of course, it's on the website for free. But I'm excited about the revelation that's coming forth for this time, for this place, for your life, and for your dreams and your vision. So open with me to our text, Proverbs 10, verse 22. I'm going to read it first out of the King James, and then I'm going to go to the Amplified and the NIV for you. But let's read it first in the King James. Proverbs 10, verse 22. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. What makes rich?
Blessing.
The blessing. And, he says, he adds no sorrow to it. How many know that when you're working in the world, I don't care how much money you got, there's a lot of sorrow that comes along with it. Just ask any number of multimillionaire entertainers and athletes and things that have had everything their heart could desire, and they end up committing suicide. Why? Sorrow. Sorrow. But when the Lord is at work, he says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The Amplified says that it makes truly rich, and he says, he adds no sorrow to it, but he says, it adds this little part, it says, neither does toiling increase it. I like that. Neither does toiling increase it. In the New Amplified, it says, for it comes as a blessing from God. Hallelujah. I like the New International Version. I don't use that very much because most times I don't like their translation. But in this case, I do. It says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. And you see, wealth is a lot more than just money. So, you know, open your ears up here and hear what the Lord is saying to us. It's spirit, soul, and body, being whole, being healthy. Being sound. Yeah, you know, money's part of it, but actually money's the lowest part of that whole deal, right? But see, in the church world, here's the problem. In the church world today, the word blessing has been so watered down that it literally has been stripped of its true meaning. Most people don't even know what it means to be blessed. They really don't pay any attention to it. And I don't think this is by accident. I believe that this has been a tactic from the enemy, because it represents the blessing. And when I talk about the blessing, I use Brother Copeland's concept. I in my mind, this is the way I write it in my notes, and this is the way I see it when I say it, is capital letters in bold. The blessing, as opposed to blessings. Blessings come as the result of the blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I believe that this has been so watered down because the blessing, I believe, is the most important concept in the entire Bible. It's why Jesus came. It's what Jesus preached. When Jesus preached the gospel, do you know what he preached? He preached the blessing. That's what he preached. So no wonder the enemy has done everything he can to water this down and to remove it from our minds and understanding so that we don't make any big deal about it, right? And what we most of it we have today is kind of double talk. I call it religious double talk, and we like to talk about the circumstances that surround it. And I talked with this Eddie before the service. People talk about their sickness, they talk about their lack, or the calamity. The tornado blew my house down. Boy, but it was really a blessing in disguise. But in the same breath, they talk about, you know, health and prosperity and protection is being a blessing of the Lord too. So no wonder we have confusion, because can both of those things be true? No, they can't. No wonder we have blessing. But I'm telling you, you need to get that phrase. If you haven't done it already, let me help you tonight. As your pastor, please, I say this with all love and mercy. Get that phrase, a blessing in disguise, out of your mouth and out of your vocabulary, and let it never come out again. Why? Why do I say that? Because one is from God, and one is from the devil. There's no in between. It can't be a blessing in disguise. And they are talking about, he believe, you know, and I think he has a good point. He says, one of the reasons that the enemy wants us to receive this concept, if you will, is that if it really is a blessing from God in disguise, well, then we're not going to dig into the Word and we're not going to figure out why it happened or what allowed it to happen. It just must be God's will that my house blew down. You know, see? No, it's not a blessing in disguise. It's either a blessing or it's a curse. God is good, the devil is bad. God is good, the devil's bad. Our three-year-old grandchildren can understand that, right? God is good. Say that. God is good. The devil's bad. Here's how we muse most of the time, though. God bless you. Thank you. See? That's how we use it. That's about the extent of most church people use the blessing this day. So no wonder there's been so much confusion and a large majority of the church world today is struggling because they have no concept and no understanding of what the blessing represents. And I'll say this again and I'll stand on this statement. I believe this is to be the number one most important topic in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the blessing. Okay? Hallelujah. So go with me. Let's look at it. Let's go back to the beginning. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look again tonight at Genesis 1, verse 28. Hallelujah. In fact, let's just skip back. Let's actually start in 26. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's see, am I reading? Let me read out of the King James. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps up on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Let's go to verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be meat. Now remember, is it all right if I just kind of go with the Holy Ghost here? What did we just talk about in our offering time? We talked about the way God's plan for funding our vision, our plan. What were the two things? Number one, he gave us the blessing. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, right? What was the number two thing we said God gave us? The law of seed time and harvest. Look at verse 29. So he gives you the blessing, which is an empowerment and ability to prosper. He gives you a vision. He gives you a mandate. And then he gives you the way to get it done. What? Seed time and harvest. Do you see it? That's what it is. This is what God's talking. This is why this is so important. Now, let's move on a little bit here. The word for blessed in this particular verse in the Hebrew is the word that most of us remember. We've talked about it in past times. It's the word barak. B-A-R-A-K, the Hebrew barak. And it basically means to bend the knee or to bow. The New Testament equivalent word is the word proskuneo, which means basically almost the same thing. Let me read it to you out of Strong's. It says to kiss. Kiss the hand of, like a dog kisses the hand of its owner. Okay? That's a really vibrant concept for me because we own dogs. You know what? It's to proskuneo, to bow the knee. It's like the dog licking his master's hand, to fawn, to crouch. It says literally or figuratively to prostrate oneself in homage or do reverence to and adore and worship. So when God spoke the blessing over mankind, this declaration actually empowered you to be successful. Because you have to understand, within the declaration, within the words themselves, also contains the power for it to happen. And he blessed them. The minute he did that, the words themselves empowered Adam and Eve to prosper in all they did. Do you see this? Hallelujah. So the blessing is an empowerment. We know that. We've talked about it. But and then again, within the command is the power for that to happen. So when God blesses something, what does it do? It releases divine resources, praise God, that would make the blessing not just a spiritual reality, but a material reality, a natural reality as well. And that's what you and I walk in, right? Hallelujah. And see, this blessing, it endued God's family, that's you and me, it endued his family with all the power they would ever need to be successful. Look at your neighbor and say, you have inside you all the power that you'll ever need to be successful. It's called the blessing. Hallelujah. What is the blessing? It's the power to enlarge, the power to increase, the power to multiply, the power to be successful, spirit, soul, and body. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just almost unfair to the world. And we have to start seeing ourselves as being so much different from the world because the world does not have this on them, right? Now, we know that this is a revelation in itself, and we've talked about revelation. What does revelation bring in a person's life? A revelation will bring a revolution. What's a revolution? A revolution is change, right? When you get a revelation from God, that means something in your life is going to change. If you say, oh, Pastor Chris, man, I got such revelation on this scripture this week, and nothing in your life has changed, you know what? You just have information. You don't have a real revelation, because once it becomes revelation, revolution will take place in your life. It's so important. Amen? Hallelujah. And the great thing about the Word of God is that it's a living Word. So although we have received some wonderful revelation over the last 4 or 5 years in this church because we preach and talk about the blessing a lot, I believe that there's always more. There's a higher truth. There's a higher revelation that we can go to because it's a living Word, right? So watch this. Let's go to that next level. Remind ourselves the definition, barak, proskuneo, what does it mean? To bend, to bow, kiss the hand of, right? To worship, okay. Right, so a large part of this blessing, look at it again. Watch this. A large part of this blessing that God conferred upon mankind was intended for the earth and the things of the earth to bend the knee, to kneel down, to kiss the hand, to prostrate oneself in homage to you. Is that not what God said? God blessed them. What's the definition of barak? Bend the knee. Proskuneo in the New Testament, to kiss the hand, to bow down, to worship, to pay homage. So when God blessed you, the things of this world are to bow down before you and I. Why? Because of the empowerment of God that's on our life. I'm telling you, we're going to a new level of revelation tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. See, the earth and the things of the earth, they were never intended to rule over you and I. We were created and we were blessed to rule over the earth. Now, I'm not talking about ruling over people. That's a whole different subject. We are never supposed to rule over people. But over situations, over circumstances, right? Anything that the fallen world would try and bring into your life, into my life, we have the ability, the power to rule over it and to bring it into subjection. Kiss my feet. Do you see it? Hallelujah. See, this includes the economic climate. the social climate, the physical climate, you know, including the weather, the ecological climate, which includes all the natural resources of the earth. Praise God. I mean, after all, they're put there for your benefit. Hallelujah. That's good. I'm preaching better than your amen in tonight. Hallelujah. My friend, this is revelation, fresh revelation from the throne of God tonight. And this is all part of what we call the blessing. So what else is here? Well, look at the phrase, be fruitful and multiply. Now, he's not necessarily talking about having babies. You know, babies could be a small part of that. But really, to be fruitful and multiply, it means to increase and have abundance in every way. So if you're not having abundance in a certain area, what do you know? You're not being fruitful and multiplying, okay? Now, the next word, this is a really interesting word. The word replenish. If you look up this word in Webster's 1828 dictionary, you'll find the definition for replenish means to recover former fullness. Can you see where we're going? You and I are commanded to do what? Replenish the earth, right? Is that what it says? In other words, we are to cause it to recover its former fullness. Am I talking to the right group tonight or what? We are called to replenish the earth. We're called through the blessing to help the earth recover its former fullness. And you go, what is the former fullness? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. Right there, you could meditate on that thing until Jesus comes back. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Someone say revelation. Hallelujah. See, when God spoke the blessing, He forever empowered mankind with the divine power to increase and to excel in everything good. So you and I are empowered to fill the earth with that goodness. Can I hear an amen? Okay, now I'm going to get back to this in a minute. But well, let me go there. Well, no, okay. Let's hold off for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Lord, help me here. Can I get my water? Thank you. As you read through the New Testament, especially the writings of Paul, one of the things that you'll see a theme that's repeated over and over again is that Paul recounts his testimony several times. How many know what I'm talking about? Every time he was pulled before some kind of magistrate or some kind of authority, what was the first thing he did? He talked about his testimony. What was his testimony? His testimony was that he was on the road to Damascus when suddenly a light shone from heaven and knocked him off his horse and he became blind, and you know the story, right? Well, why? The reason that Paul always shared that, because it was a truth to his life. He was never ashamed of it. So he shared the same testimony over and over again because it had such a profound impact on his life. Now, as for me, I experienced a similar situation, not that I was on the road to Damascus or knocked off a horse or anything like that, okay? And some would argue, well, maybe it's not as significant as Paul because Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and I'd say you probably have a good argument there. But nonetheless, in my mind, it's just as valid and just as powerful to what happened to me because it changed my life forever. It affected my life in such a way in time that I'll never be the same again. And it affects everything I do. It affects everything that happens in this church. And it was in a time of prayer. And as I was praying, just waiting on the Lord, I had no agenda. you know, if I just waiting there, I just relax. I wasn't really even you'll laugh at this. I really wasn't expecting to hear anything profound. I was just waiting on the Lord. And all of a sudden, he said something to me that changed my life. He said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. I'm going, huh? So I wrote it down word for word. I had no clue what he was talking about. All I know is he said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. And so again, I had no idea of the significance that would be for my life. But I know that I knew that I knew that he told me that. But over the months and over the years that have come and gone since that time, by his grace, God has continually opened up and continues to open up to me revelation after revelation after revelation. And really, what this series is all about is based upon that statement that God said to me. But here's the revelation that I want to share with you tonight and that God has imparted to me through the blessing. God said, he said, prosper and fill this planet with my glory. Prosper and fill the planet with my glory. In other words, and this will be a surprise to a lot of people, he said, finish what I started. Fill this place up with me. Fill it up with compassion. Fill it up with love and life and grace and mercy. Fill it up with faith and holiness and everything good. Now, see, that statement may be a surprise to a lot of church people. Well, I thought the earth was already finished when Adam and Eve were created. How many of you ever heard that? Don't raise your hand. But see, the mindset for most church people down through the ages is that God so thoroughly completed this planet that Adam and Eve had to do was just pluck the fruit and sit back and relax and have a good time. There was really no work for them to do. Just kick back, have fun, enjoy it. But that's not true at all. We're missing this one fact in all this, is that even though the Garden of Eden was large, it did not encompass the whole earth, only a part, right? And don't get me wrong. I mean, it was a great place to live. Gorgeous trees, you know, food fit for a king. I mean, rivers, lush growth running through it. You know, precious stones and gold and silver and every kind of jewel that any woman will want to wear in her hand or her neck or her ankle or wherever. I mean, it was gorgeous. There was nothing bad in it. But the rest of the earth was not like that. Okay? The rest of the earth still needed cultivating. It needed to be brought in line with the perfect will of God. And that was the mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve. Okay, fill up this earth with the blessing. Fill up the earth with the blessing. Brother Dave, can you find our vision statement for me? You'll see this is where the vision statement for this church came from. This is why it's so important that we're a part of the vision, walking in love. See, we have to walk in love every day. Why? Because faith does not work without love. So we're supposed to abound in faith because the only way that you can please God is how? With faith, and then as you're walking in love and abounding in faith, your job and your mandate, my job and mandate, is to manifest the blessing in all the nations of the earth. This is what this entire book is about, from Genesis to Revelation, filling the earth with the blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why that he included in the blessing the power to subdue and have dominion over the earth. See, when he said have dominion, dominion is authority. But see, the devil doesn't want you to know you have authority. He wants you to think that you're just subject to the chances of whatever happens on this earth. Right? But you're not a victim. You're a victor. You are an overcomer. Right? Through Christ, he always causes us to triumph. Right? In him. So how do we know this is true? Well, look at verse 1 again. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, verse 2. And this really puzzled me for years and years. I'll be honest with you. I mean years. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 1, verse 2. Now we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved, right? A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. How many are familiar with that scripture? So the first question that I had to ask myself, if God created the heaven and the earth, why did he create it without form and without void? I mean, isn't that a valid question? How many would like to know the answer? Why would God do that? Why would God create the earth without form and void? So, I began to study this thing. I mean, I had to ask myself this question. I'll ask you this. Does God make anything without form and void? If you don't know the answer is no. He does not. Right? So what's going on here? Well, if you study this thing out, you'll find that verse 2 should read this way. And the earth became without form and void. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it became without form and void. Now, how in the world did that happen? Hallelujah. Because it was not created like that originally. It had to become that way. Come on, somebody. So how did it become like that? Well, the answer is really pretty easy. It became that way because of sin, because of the curse, because of one person, the fall of Lucifer, when he was cast down out of heaven to the earth. The minute he was cast down, the earth became without form and void. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So now, because God did not create it without form and void, now somehow God had to figure out a way to return the earth back to its original function and form. Okay? That's why he included the blessing in our life. Why? The blessing is the power to subdue and take dominion and authority over the earth. Why? The earth was in need of supervision and direction. Why? Because it was without form and void. The Hebrew is, it became tohu and bohu. If you look those up there, they mean exactly that. Empty and without form, void, nothing. It became tohu and bohu. Hallelujah. So God's plan was for you and I to make this earth the garden spot of the universe. That's his plan. That's his mandate. That's his direction. And then once we finish, as Brother Copeland believes, and I believe along with him, once we finish with the earth, we got lots of other planets to go to. Right? Lots of other universes. It's going to be fun. I mean fun. But we had, as you all know, we had a little kink in the plan here. What happened? Adam and Eve sinned. And as a result of their sin, what happened? This was the biggest thing. You have to understand, this is the, what's the word? The thing that made this so serious was that when they sinned, they forfeited the blessing. That's why sin was so serious. So somehow God had to put a plan together to restore the blessing back into the earth on a permanent basis. That's why Jesus had to come, okay? But see, up until that time that Jesus came, this is interesting. If you ever wondered why Jesus had such opposition to him, up until the time that Jesus came, the only thing that the people knew was the law and the judgment and the punishment that came with the law. That's all they'd ever heard. That's all they'd ever been taught. That's all they knew. And one day Jesus stands up and he says, I am anointed to to preach good news. Recovery of sight to the blind. You don't have to be poor anymore. You don't have to stay in bondage. You don't have to be sick anymore. And they're going, what? You see, they're freaking out. They've never heard such a thing. He came preaching the blessing. I mean, that's good news. You don't have to be sick anymore. Is that good news? You don't have to be poor anymore. Is that good news? If you're blind and you can see now, is that good news? Yeah. And people wanted to kill him for that because he was acting like he had dominion and authority over the earth. Who do you think you are? Remember that message? Who do you think you are? See, and Jesus called God his Father, and he operated in the blessing by using the very same authority that Adam and Eve had before they fell. And that aggravated the Pharisees to no end. Look, turn over to John 10. Let's look at it. John 10, verse 34. Jesus answered. He says, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Some men are called gods by the law. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Men to whom God's message came and the scripture cannot be set aside or canceled or broken or annulled. If that's true, and it was, do you save the one whom the Father consecrated and dedicated and set apart for himself and send into the world your blasphemy because I said, I'm the Son of God? See, what Jesus is saying here is that when God spoke his word of dominion into mankind, the blessing, he made us gods, little g, over all that he created. Now don't get uptight with that word. That's the Bible word. He made us gods, little g. You and I are divinely designed and appointed to rule and reign as priests and kings in this earth. Is that true? Amen. Hallelujah. But see, you can have a desire or a willingness to rule, to reign, but if you're not equipped, if you're not empowered, you're going to fail. Amen? So, Jesus, let's see what did Jesus do? He did two things. Turn to Matthew 28. We'll see the first thing. Jesus transferred his authority to his disciples. That's the number one thing. We'll see that in Matthew 28, I believe, verse 18, in the Amplified. This is what we call the Great Commission. So it says, Jesus approached, and breaking the silence, he said to them, all authority. If he has all authority, how much is not under his? If he has it all, then is there anything missing? No. All authority. All power of rule. See, that's dominion. In heaven and where? On earth has been given to me. So what did he do? He turned around and gave that to you and I. He says, go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion. There's nothing left out there, is there? To the very close and the consummation of the age. Amen. You know what amen means, right? So let it be. Amen. So the commission right here authorized the disciples, and by way of them, you and I, authorizes you and I to preach the gospel worldwide. Is that right? Okay. But, as I just said, being commissioned and having a will and a desire to do that is not enough. Many people on the planet think it is, but they're falling short. There also needs to be an empowerment to do what you've been given authority to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen? Because if you don't have an empowerment to do that, how are you going to be successful? Well, go over to Acts chapter 8. Or Acts chapter 1. This is why Jesus gave him part 2 of the commandment. What did he say? He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. For what? The promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. How and when? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends or the very bounds of the earth. The outpouring of power, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is what equipped the disciples to fulfill the great commission that God gave to them. Amen? It empowered them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, but it also empowered them to operate in dominion over all the works of the devil, and it empowered them to advance the kingdom of God upon the earth. Amen? And the exciting thing is that book, that part of the book, still being written by you and I today. Amen? Hallelujah. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit provided them, and it provides you and I, the same kind of power, watch this, that Adam received when God declared over him the words of Genesis 1:28, be blessed, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, take dominion over the fowls of the earth and you know everything that creeps and you know the whole bit. Hallelujah. Are you seeing it? When he did that, it released to them and it releases to you the blessing. Hallelujah. So don't tell me the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an important part of this thing. It is vital, right? Now, I want to firmly establish tonight in our body that you and I have a mandate from God. We've talked a lot about, that's been the theme that the Holy Spirit, even through our offering today. What is a mandate? Does anybody know what a mandate is? It's a mission. It's an official order, a commission, you would say, you know, military term, to do something. It's an authorization from a higher authority. It's a formal order, and it comes right from the top. It comes right from the Father himself. What is it? Well, it began with Adam, and his mandate for you and I, watch this, is and was and always will be the blessing. Amen? So when God blessed them in the garden, this should be review for you now since we've had our offering time. The blessing carried with it two things. Number one, he has now the responsibility to carry it out, right? Has God changed? No. So you and I have a responsibility to carry out our mandate, right? To fulfill this mandate. And number two, Adam was provided all of the resources he would ever need to fill up the earth with the goodness of God. Hallelujah. You and I, now watch this, because the enemy does not want you to believe this, and he does it in the natural by bringing things to your eyes, bringing things to your ears. He wants you to think that we are lacking in our ability to do what God has called us to do. When the truth is, because of this blessing right here, you and I, watch this, you and I have all of the resources we'll ever need to fill up this earth with the goodness of God. We have it. Where is it? It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God's goodness manifested through you. God's goodness manifested through me in the form of what we know as the blessing. God gave Adam a divine commission, and he crowned him with all the divine power he would ever need to fulfill it. He talks about it actually in Psalm 8, verse 5. You don't have to put it up here. It says, he crowned him with glory and honor. That's you and I. We are crowned. We are crowned with glory and honor. Amen? See, watch this. The moment that Adam and Eve received the blessing, All creation was under their command. All of it. The moment he said, God bless them, all of creation was under their command and their authority. Hallelujah. The good news is we have it again. Jesus restored it back to us. Amen. But what I'm trying to get to you tonight is that you and I are totally equipped for this God-given mission that we have on this earth. They had both the authority and the power to exercise the dominion. You and I have both the power and the authority to exercise the same commission. Amen? That means you and I were totally equipped to fulfill our God-given mission on this earth. You have the authority and the power to exercise dominion over the earth. Hallelujah. And folks, if that's not good news, I don't know what is. That means sickness, disease, poverty, lack, storms, you know, disease, sickness. And here's what we have to get down on the inside of us. It has to become a revelation. It has to become truth to our hearts until we do it without even thinking. And so, you know this part of it, and we may get back into it again because we just keep going over and over. If you've been in this church for a while, I won't spell it out. I don't have the time. I don't have it in front of me. But he's taken certain subjects that are all interconnected and give us insight and a deeper revelation and understanding of how that concept works. And then you take that concept and you apply it to this next concept. And then we keep going back. And then we're back to the blessing again. And the next one is the word. See, to exercise your dominion using the blessing, the only way you can do it is with your mouth, with the words that come out of your mouth. I see it now. I've had such opposition in writing this book called God's Voice Activated Universe. And now I know why. He doesn't want people to read this book. Because why? When you do that, you are operating in the blessing by your mouth, right? See, you and I we're supposed to say the same things God says, right? And when you do that in faith, you just simply go about your business and expect the Word of God to do what it was created to do. You know what we need to do? We need to act like this Word is true. That's all we got to do. Just act like it's true. Everything it says from start to end. So when you speak the Word over those things or over those situations, what does it do? It brings heaven down into those situations and circumstances. That's our command. That's our mandate. You and I are to bring heaven down into every situation. When you walk into a restaurant, you bring heaven into it. When you walk into the gym, you bring heaven into it. When you walk into a church, you bring heaven down. Wherever you go, you bring heaven with you. That's your mandate. And the way it manifests is your mouth. Wow, God has given us some revelation tonight. See, that's what the Garden of Eden is all about. Bringing down heaven into every part of the earth. I am part of the vision, walking in love, abounding in faith, and manifesting the blessing in all the nations of the earth. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, what did he say? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done how? On earth as it is in heaven. What is that? The blessing coming down to earth. Hallelujah. We have walked so short of our total ability and power and dominion. We've been lied to. We've been stolen from. And we've allowed it to happen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that. And I'm moving forward in a new direction tonight. How about you? Turn over to Hebrews 4, please. It's scripture you all know. Hebrews 4:14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Hold fast your profession. Hold fast your confession. They mean the exact same thing. What does it mean to confess? If you're, you know, arrested by the police and they put you in a holding tank and they put the spotlight on you, they're trying to make you confess to something, right? They're trying to make you say the same thing they're saying, right? So when you confess means to say the same thing. So when you hold fast your profession or your confession of faith, you are executing the blessing by saying the same thing as God says. Come on, somebody. This is powerful. Don't let it get by you tonight. The Bible clearly tells us that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. Amen? And we're exhorted to choose life. Amen? The Bible clearly tells us. How do you choose life? By saying the same thing that God says. About everything. It's about walking by faith and not by sight. It's about not being moved by the situations. It's not being moved by the circumstances. It's not being moved by the bad reports. It's not being moved by what currently looks like it's a reality in your life. Because why? Everything is subject to change. Everything is subject to change. I don't care how impossible it looks. It's subject to change if you'll say the same thing. Take dominion. Exercise your authority that God has conferred on you by the blessing and speak the word into that. Go to Isaiah 55. One of my favorite scriptures from the time that I first got born again. In fact, if you would have seen me when I rededicated my life, I was living in a little house that probably wasn't even bigger than this stage, on 2 acres of horse property. And I had scriptures, one scripture on the whole side of the, and I had them plastered throughout my kitchen. You walk in, it just looked like, you know, just paper, just something weird had happened. But I kept those things in front of me, and this is one of the things that changed my life. Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Hallelujah. If you speak it and you believe it, it will come to pass. Guess what? Did you hear me? I said it will come to pass. Why? Creation is under your command. Don't let it be the other way around. We've let it be the other way around for too long. The reason the earth is in such disarray is because the church has not taken its rightful place and authority in the earth by speaking the word and using the blessing to change the earth. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. But I'm telling you, after tonight, that's changing in this church. Come on, somebody. It's changing in your life. It's changing in your family. It's changing in your marriage. It's changing in your children. It's changing in your health. It's changing in your finances. It's changing in your peace, in your wisdom, in your direction. Amen? Amen. Why? Because He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Your mouth is the steering wheel of your life. If you're not happy with your life, change your words. Right? If you're not walking in the kind of victory you should be walking in, if you're struggling with certain areas of your life, you can begin to turn things around tonight by saying what God says about them. Well, how can I do that, Brother Chris? By speaking the blessing, right? Begin speaking the word. Begin speaking the same thing God speaks over the areas of struggle and defeat. And here's the secret. Here's the thing. If you're not reading your Bible every single day when that struggle comes to you, you won't know what God says because you haven't read His Word. You have to be in this Bible every day. How many are reading through the Bible? How many are almost done? I'm about 10 days away from finishing. I got ahead of myself this time. But, you know, it's just not enough. So my next goal is to read through the New Testament once a month. It's about 9 chapters a day, 7 days a week for 30 days. Guess what? You've read through the New Testament. But every month for the next year, 12 times is my goal. Will I be challenged? I'm sure there'll be some challenges. But by God's grace, I'm going to do it. How about you? What's your goal? I'm not saying your goal has to be my goal, but get a goal. Read through your Bible. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, if you'll just speak the word, things will change. Maybe not overnight, but if you'll stick to it, if you don't falter, if you don't slip, if you don't go back, if you stay with the word. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with the word. Speak the blessing. Take your dominion. Take your authority and watch your life change. Hallelujah. Folks, we need, and I'm talking to myself right now, probably nobody else in this place, I'm talking to me. We need to stop thinking so small. Why? Because we have a divine destiny to fulfill. Everyone in this room, everyone listening to me on the internet tonight, you have a divine destiny to fulfill. You have a worldwide vision, and you have the power and the authority to carry it out. Why? The blessing. Amen. You have a divine calling to multiply. You have a divine calling to fulfill, to be fruitful and fill the earth with the same abundant life that God gave to Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. You've been commissioned. Did you sign up or were you drafted? Signed up. So that you could be drafted. You could have been, at least in my day when I was in college, because we had, you know, Eloy was in it, the Vietnam War. At the end of it, they needed bodies so badly that they had to draft people. So when you got the call, you had no choice. You better go. Is that or go to Canada? You didn't want to go to Canada because it means you can't come back to the U.S. ever. Right? So what am I saying to you? You've been drafted. You don't have a choice. You've been drafted. Come on, somebody. If you're born again, you've been drafted. You've been commissioned. You've been commissioned to build God's family and to expand the garden until it fills the earth. And I'm telling you, folks, life doesn't get any better than that. Now, it's a little easier to understand why all those years back, in my prayer time, God said, it's time to bring back the Garden of Eden to the earth. Now you understand, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if God said it's time to bring it back, that tells me that somehow we've lost it. Somehow we've let it slip, right? Somehow we've lost our mandate and our direction. But no more. Say no more. Say this after me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been born again. I've been filled with the Spirit. The very life of God lives on the inside of me. I've been commissioned. I have been appointed. I've been drafted. I have a divine mandate from God Himself. He's given me His power. He's given me His authority over everything on the earth. The things of this earth are to bow down to me. I've been commissioned to fill this earth with God's love, God's grace, and with God's glory. I will speak what God speaks over every situation, over every circumstance. I will call heaven down on my life, on my family, on my health, on my finances, on my relationships, on my church. I will bring back the Garden of Eden into the earth and fill it up with God's glorious goodness. Now somebody give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you leave here tonight, don't move off that spot. Stay right there. Amen?
Amen?
You see, the enemy will try and do everything he can to get death and destruction and doubt back in your mouth. I can guarantee you. Some of you, it won't be 5 minutes. What do? You repent. God, right then. Just stop right then there. Oh, you know, if your spouse is with you, just gently in love remind, okay, if you say so. Oh, no, I don't want to say it. Lord, I repent. I forgive my forgiveness. I call for a crop failure in that area. And let me, do I say that? Okay, all right. Is it okay if I step on some toes? Because, God's here to heal. Those of you who are on Facebook, you better watch the words you post. It's the same thing. It's as if you're speaking them out of your mouth. If you're posting death, doubt, and unbelief, what are you going to get in your life? Death, doubt. Now, I'm not thinking of anybody, so don't anybody take offense. Well, Pastor Chris picked, no, I'm not thinking of anybody. But I use Facebook all the time because I use it as a vehicle to bring heaven to earth, to get the good news to people. And I see what gets posted. I'm not necessarily saying anybody in here, but I'm saying there's some things that should never be on there, right? Understand the devil is a defeated foe. He has no real power. His only power, his only device is to try and convince you otherwise, try and rob you of the word in your mouth and get you to speak death and destruction, because when you speak that kind of thing, now you've given him jurisdiction to come into your life and to do the very thing that you're speaking. So just cut him off. Don't give him any jurisdiction. Don't go there. Don't be moved by what you see, hear, read. Move by the word of God. Amen? Walk by faith, not by sight. Go to Genesis 1:31, and we're going to end here, I think. Hallelujah. Okay, so he's spoken a blessing. So, verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Do you understand what's happening right here? See, once God released the blessing on Adam, God retired. God was finished. He'd done all that he was going to do on this earth. Now, I know many Christians, before you shoot me, keep that gun in the holster for a few minutes. They find that hard to believe. But this is not my idea. This is Bible. Let's get rid of our traditional thinking. Let's get rid of any narrow mindset we might have. Let's believe the Word of God, can we? God was finished. He'd created the universe. He made man after his own image, after his own likeness. He created you and I to function and operate the same way he does. All right? He crowned us. He crowned mankind with his creative power, and he gave mankind total authority or complete authority over the earth. Basically, he turned this thing over to you and me. His plan, watch this, his plan is now to enjoy fellowship with you and I, and watch us as we turn this planet into the most glorious garden anybody's ever seen. He's looking at, oh, there's my boy. Oh, that's my girl. Oh, you go, girl. Oh, you go, girl. Look. Oh, look at you. Oh, that's so good. You're bringing heaven down to earth. Just because God retired doesn't mean that he's inactive. See, that's what people think. You say, oh, God, no. No, God retired. He put the complete authority in you and I. Doesn't mean he's not active, right? But see, now it's your turn. It's your turn, my turn to go and do it. See, he has confidence in this divine connection that we have with him. Why? Because he spoke the blessing over our lives. And we are now divinely designed to create the conditions of the garden wherever we go. See, we can't do the whole earth on our own, but wherever you go, you can plant the garden. You plant it there, you plant it, you plant yours, 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 and yours, and yours. Next thing you know, man, we got gardens all over the place. Now it's starting to look like something, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to understand, the blessing is really a manifestation of the love of God in this earth. That's what it is. Within the blessing, He has programmed the genetic code to do just that. It's just like when you put a seed in the ground. It begins to grow, right? The blessing, how do I say that, Lord? The blessing has within it the blueprint or the genetic code to reproduce the garden. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's just like when you put a seed in the ground. It begins to grow. Hallelujah. So once God had the blessing in place, then it was time to rest. And He's still resting today. He hasn't altered His plan. He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't changed. God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? But even though He's resting, He's not inactive, as I said before. And He's confident that the blessing which He spoke will bring His word to pass in spite of everything that hell tries to do on this earth. Come on, somebody. So now, tomorrow morning when you get up to start reading your Bible, you're going to understand this fact, and you're going to begin to understand it in a much clearer way with everything that the Bible says. Why? Because it's all about the blessing. Jesus came preaching the blessing, right? Hallelujah. Everything from Genesis to Revelation has been in relation to the very first words that God spoke to mankind in Genesis 1:28. 6,000 years ago, they're still ringing true today as they were then. The same words. Everything He's done. Yep. I can say that. Everything God has done has been for one central purpose, and it is to get the blessing back where it belongs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll study more of it as we go through the series, okay? Hallelujah. Did you learn something tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand up?